There's a song we used to sing, Are You Ready? Are you ready for that day to come? It's an interesting song because it goes through kind of a progression. There's a sad day coming for those who aren't prepared, but there's a glad day coming for those who are. Now that's my shorthand version of the song. That's not the way it actually goes. But I found as I looked at the scripture, there are a lot of times, there are a lot of things the Bible asks, are you ready for besides the judgment day? And certainly I don't want to minimize, are you ready for the judgment day? But I want to look at several of these verses in our text in Matthew 24 and verse 44. The text says, therefore you also be ready. That's a command that we're to be ready for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We know that he is coming back, but we just don't know when. Therefore, you should always be ready, and you ought not to be waiting for a certain day or to mark a day on the calendar. I'm always amazed at those people who figure out in their calculations, Jesus is coming back on such and such a day. Especially since the Bible says no man, not even the Son, knows the day he's coming back, only the Father alone. So it's not a question of mark a date on a calendar and be ready for that date. It's a question, are you ready right now for what God expects of you, what he's given for you to do? And as we look at that, I know some of you are frightened because you looked at the outline on the bulletin and you see there are six major points. Don't worry, I'm only going to spend 20 minutes on any given point. That's the most I'll spend on any point. I turn over to Romans chapter 1 and the question comes up, are you ready to preach the gospel? That's an important question because if you look at verse 15, which we often overlook, Paul says, so as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and the salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I am ready to preach the gospel. What does that indicate or connotate in your mind? I am ready to preach. Now, everybody's not a preacher. Paul tells us about that when he talks about in 1 Corinthians, the whole body's not the same. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And he says that we all have our place, but are we ready to preach the gospel as a congregation? Are we ready as Christians to see that the Word is taken throughout the world into every creature? Because, quite frankly, that is the Great Commission that we have. And the Great Commission can be shortened to say that is our mission. Our mission is to preach the gospel, for it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe, Romans chapter 10. And we need to be ready. Paul said, I'm ready, but I want you to look in 2 Timothy verse 4 and verses 2 and 5 there, because now Paul is talking to Timothy, his young protege, and he says, preach the word, and the very next thing he says is, be ready. Preaching the gospel means you got to know the gospel. You got to love the gospel. And, in fact, you have to share the gospel. In fact, when Paul talks to Timothy, he says, be ready in season and out of season. I suspect that right now, if there were ever a season when the gospel were out in our country, it's now as much as any time in my lifetime. But that doesn't change the fact that truth is truth and God is God and he's still in his holy temple and the whole earth should keep silent before him. It bothers me to watch the nightly news on whatever channel it comes on because of the things that are of moral consequence that have changed just really in the last few years. But our response is that we preach the word, that we're ready in season and out of season, that we convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's a time coming when people don't want to know the truth. There's a time coming, and I'm not sure isn't right now, where people want to reject the gospel. The second thing that I want to bring up in this vein, it's kind of a follow-on piece of scripture, and it's found over in 1 Peter chapter 3. Are you ready to answer any question? Now, to be quite honest with you, I've shortened it a little bit more than I should in this particular point. Not are you ready to answer any question in the world, but are you ready to answer any question about the faith that's within you? Do you know what you believe and why you believe and who you believe? Peter said, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid because of any of the threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready. That's the part we want to look at. To give a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that's within you. Are you ready to tell people why you hope for heaven? He says that we're to do this with weakness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, which is happening today, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed, for it is better, it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. If I've got to suffer for something, let it be for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I'm going to be ridiculed for something, let it be for the good news, the gospel. But the question comes back, are you ready to do that? If someone were to come up in today's society and culture and face to face ask you, are you a Christian? I think most of you know the answer to that one. Most of us would say yes. Most of those assembled in this assembly would say yes. If somebody said, why are you a Christian? What kind of things would you come up with? Would you say, well, all of my family are Christians and so I'm a Christian? Because I'll be honest with you, that's not a good enough answer. If you'd say, I'm a Christian because we're part of a Christian nation, that's changing fast. I'm not sure we are anymore. I'm a Christian because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I'm a Christian because of the good news story called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can we tell, not every detail, but can we tell the basis of our faith to someone who were to ask a question for the reason, for the hope that's in you? You don't have to answer physics. You don't have to answer science. You don't have to answer mathematics. You don't have to answer how to solve the problems of the world. But you should, as a Christian, be able, are you ready to answer to anyone that asks you why you have this hope in you that Jesus Christ is Lord? And if not, why not? Why can't we answer that question? Is it because faith has not been produced by studying the Word of God? Because, quite frankly, that's what we're commanded to do. But then there's another question we're asked if we're ready for. And this is, are we ready to work for the Lord? I don't know how many of you ever had a day that you got up and you didn't want to go to work that day. Probably most of you from some time or another felt that way. But we're not talking about secular work here. We're talking about the work of the Lord. You see, the work of the Lord was left in the hands of Christians. Jesus went to heaven and he left it in the hands of his church to teach the gospel, to take the gospel to all the world. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities and be ready for every good work. The young man Titus was told that Christianity has to do with works. Now, Keith, are you saying we've got to work our way to heaven? Absolutely not. You're not good enough, and neither am I. We can't do enough. We can't accomplish enough. We can't work our way to heaven. If you were in my Sunday school class this morning, you learned that we are unprofitable. You remember the word servants? Because when we've done all that we know to do, we're still unprofitable. We haven't earned it. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a work to do. Paul says to Timothy, remind them that they are supposed to be working for the cause of the kingdom. They're supposed to be teaching the gospel. They're supposed to be ready for every good work, which means to help when we can help. We're to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. The Bible is replete with example and command after command that we are to be a working people. We are to be Christians who are doing something, not who are simply sitting in pews. Our job is not to warm pews and to fill church buildings with our presence. Our job is to do good in the name of Christ. That whatever we do, that people may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. God gets the glory, or should every time. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That idea of walking in good works is living in, contributing every day. It is our life to do good works. And by the way, it's not a stretch of the imagination or of our thought process to say that good works are God's works. We were created to do God's work. I don't care if you're an accountant or a real estate broker or a grocery store manager or the bag boy or the person that drives a bus or whatever it is that you might do, you can do it into God's glory. School teacher, you influence people every day. The things that we do ought to be done to the glory of God, and we ought to do them the better than anybody else because we are God's children. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. It'll be a familiar passage to you, where it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The gospel is to equip you to go and do something besides sit. The gospel is to get us ready to go out and make a difference in the world and in eternity in the lives of the people that we know and that we love and that we care about and those that we don't know and love and care about. Because they have no hope if the church doesn't take the gospel. Are you ready to do God's work? To the work, we are servants of God. Isn't it amazing how many songs we sing and yet fail to practice sometimes in real life? I want to be a worker for the Lord. And then, quite frankly, it's hard to see some people come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And Sunday night and Wednesday night, for us, we praise God, but for us, that's like putting gas in the tank, or it should be, where we are filled with something to take out to the world. So the question is, are you ready to go to work for Christ? This next question is one that we all have to face. And perhaps not what you want to think about today, but that's all right. You must think about it. Are you ready to die? I remember the story of the preacher who got up and asked, who wants to go to heaven? And everybody but one man raised his hand and they said, sir, you don't want to go to heaven? He said, I just don't want to go yet. Let me change that scenario simply to say, are you ready to go? Death does not come at your appointed time. The emphasis for the Christian is to be ready at any time. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 and 8 says, for I am already being offered as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Have you fought the fight? Have you run the race? Are you sitting on the sidelines waiting for somebody else to fight the fight for you? Because, quite frankly, you'll never win a fight with somebody fighting it for you. You'll never run a race with somebody else running in your place. I want us to be honest about this question, are you ready to die? I was talking with a young man that has a young family not long ago, and he was going through some problems and some problems that are, quite frankly, rather dangerous and could cost him his life. I asked him this question. This is a great question. Come to see me. I've got great questions. I said, do you know how much a funeral costs? He's a young man. He said, no. I said, well, last time I checked, and I do a lot of funerals, so I'm kind of in the ballpark, it's anywhere between $7,000 and $10,000. Are you prepared to pay for your funeral? Now, he's got three little children, not even 12 years old. I said, are they going to pay for it? Do you have life insurance? He said, well, I think my company's got $2,000 or $3,000. I said, you're short. I said, you're not ready to die. Your children need a daddy to grow up. Your wife needs a husband to count on. You need to make some different choices because, quite frankly, you are not ready to die. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Not only is he not ready to die, he's not ready for the judgment, and there is a day coming in which we'll be judged, which brings up the next question. Are you ready to be judged? I know we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and in that vein, none of us are ready to be judged without the blood of Christ. So the imperative is that you be in Christ or you're not ready for the judgment. Because I can tell you one thing for sure is that there is a, as the song said, great day coming. And for many, it's going to be a sad day coming. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 verses 1 and 2, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready, in season, out of season. Why? Because there is a judgment coming. We don't like to talk about that. We want to think that everything, you know, I think it's crazy when the best idea, the best hope some people have is that there is nothing after this life. Isn't that an empty thought? That I just die and I'm in the grave and that's all over. That's not true. There's a heaven and there's a hell and you'll end up in one for all eternity. Are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you ready to be judged? Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Luke records these words when he said, truly the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Because, listen, this is not a popular passage. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. There is a judgment day. It's coming. He's given us assurance in this and that he raised him from the dead. There's a day of judgment coming. It's not going to be a day and then 7 years and all the righteous are going to be taken up in a car and the other cars are going to be left unmanned. That's not Bible. I know a lot of people have that theology or something similar to that, something close to that. There is no plan B. The plan A is that you come to God and you're born again, you have your sins washed away. Well, aren't you narrow? I'm not narrow. I'm just trying to be biblical. If you have a problem with it, take up with the Holy Spirit the fact that He said there's a day coming in which everybody's going to be judged. And in fact, even your secret thoughts will be brought out and every word that you ever spoke will be out there. The only hope we have is to be washed in the blood. And by the way, this pseudo-Christianity is not going to work. In Matthew 7 and verse 23, Jesus is talking and He says, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. Then I will declare for them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work unrighteousness or iniquity." The judgment day is not the day where everybody goes to heaven. So ask yourself the question, are you ready? Because death is going to happen and judgment is going to happen. That's what Hebrews 9:27 told us just a minute ago. But you know, I don't really want to end on "are you ready to die?" I think the real question is, are you ready to live? Are you ready to live for Christ and in Christ and for all eternity? Are you ready to live? Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. He says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The only way in which that sentence makes sense is for me to live in Christ, for death to be a gain for me. But what kind of life is that? It's a Christian life. It's a good life. It's a life of giving, caring, sharing. It's a life that's blessed. Paul goes on to say that it is his earnest expectation and hope that nothing he should be ashamed. He says that he wants Christ to be magnified in his body, whether by life or by death. Are you ready to live for him? Next Saturday afternoon, I'm going to have the privilege of performing a wedding ceremony right here. A couple of weeks ago, the bride and groom came into my office and we sat and talked for several hours. You know what? Basically, we ask, are you ready for this part of your life? And we talked about how important, among other things, is to have Christ in your life. If you're not ready for Jesus to be in your life, then you're not ready for life. And you're sure not ready for death, and you're sure not ready for the judgment. So when I ask the question, are you ready to live? I'm talking about now and forever. Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 2. In verse 11 he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust," that's a must, "we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." I believe that in times past we in the church have made a mistake. Not on purpose, just in trying to talk about heaven, we forgot that there is a good life to be lived here. Jesus said, "I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And what makes this life abundant is being in service to God Himself, doing the good works which He prepared for us to do. Are you ready to live? Are you ready to die? Are you ready for the judgment? Are you ready to give an answer for anyone that asks a hope that's within you? There are a lot of questions. But let me just change it this way and I'll close the lesson. Are you ready to meet God right now? If your last breath were the next breath, the Lord should come back in judgment. Are you prepared to meet Him? If not, what do you need to do? Do you need to become a Christian? Because we're assembled today. And if you're a penitent believer who'll confess His name, we can baptize you for the remission of your sins. You can have your sins washed away, be raised to walk in newness of life and live faithful to Him, and heaven can be your home. If you've wandered away, why not come back home? Are you ready? You see, I believe only you can answer that question right now as we stand and as we sing.